Finally, in one-on-one this week, Ian Willoughby talks to Martin Fell, the co-owner of a Bohemian-style Chajovna, or tea room, in Glasgow, about his experiences in the Czech Republic and the inspiration for his business.
Dobrý den, já jsem Martin Fell z Edinburghu. Já jsem na půl Čech, jsem spolumajitel Čajovny Glasgow.
If you don't understand that, he's saying, hello, I'm Martin Fell from Edinburgh. I'm half Czech and I'm the co-owner of a tea room in Glasgow. The cozy tea room has the Czech name Chajovna and is on the city's Otago Lane. When I met Martin there recently, he smoked away on a hookah water pipe throughout our conversation. Between drags, he told me a little about his background.
My mother's Czech, but my father's originally from Ireland, actually, and I'm born in Edinburgh, so I'm a bit of a pěkný goulash, a bit of a, you know, mix-up.
When did your mother leave Czechoslovakia?
In 1968.
One of the 75,000?
One of the many, but one of the few that came to Edinburgh.
And is she still in Edinburgh?
No, they moved down to northern England, down to Leeds. So now she's one of the few in Leeds as well now. But, you know, you get Czechs everywhere nowadays.
They use the term mother tongue. Did she speak Czech to you when you were a kid at home?
She did for a bit, yeah. And then I started speaking English because me and my brothers were the only Czech kids about. And then I learned Czech in later on, like I lived in Czech Republic when I was 18. And I studied Slavonic studies as well, so half and half.
How old were you in 89?
In 89, I was actually in the Czech Republic at the time as well. I was about 10. Yeah.
You were there at the age of 10 in November 89?
Yeah, because we were on a holiday. Basically, we used to go to the Czech Republic every year, even during the communist times, because my mother was legally in Britain because she's married to my father. So therefore, I don't remember much of it, but just big demonstrations and that sort of thing, a big speech by Havel in Wenceslas Square and that thing.
Were you there?
Yeah. And my little brother, the main thing I remember from it, to be honest, is that my little brother took a wee in the middle of the crowd. So, you know, not very political, really. You know.
Tell us, how was it as a British kid going to a communist country?
It was very strange because we'd come, say, with cans of Coca-Cola, because I don't drink it at the Sylvan now, but say cans of things and various different things that we took for granted, and we'd go to the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia and no one had ever seen it before. Or we'd be going in a Nissan Prairie, we'd be driving into we'd go for a village and kids would be running after us going, wow, what a car. And my cousins were there and they were quite proud of the fact that they had cousins who came from like a Western country.
What was your mother's reaction to November 89? It must have been a big thing for her.
It was, yeah. But it meant there was more freedom of our relatives in the Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia at the time, visiting. And because my grandfather, my Jeda, was a dissident at the time, and until after the revolution. And he wasn't able even to go to the wedding of my parents because he had his passport taken from him and arrested and things like that. He was part of an organisation that fought for the freeing, protested against the show trials in the 50s. He was called Ivo Heiss, but he was also a very, very important scientist in the Czech Republic. So because he was of such an important figure, they wanted to make him a communist. They wanted to ask him to become a communist. And he, in 1971, he told them that he didn't want to be a communist, and so he lost his job. It's a common thing. He lost his job and got arrested and worked in the fields of Moravia. Yeah.
Did he live to see the revolution?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. He became a professor in Hradec Králové. He was made a professor by Václav Havel, and he used to come over every summer to the north of England where we were living then, and he was an artist as well, so he used to come around and sketch like the canals in Shipley and Bradford and that sort of strange little thing.
Tell me about, you said you lived in the Czech Republic for a while.
Yeah, I used to living, when I was 18, I just went for a year in Czech Republic to learn language, basically. And I used to work as a teacher, in a school assistant teacher. And then for half a year, I busked on... I played the saxophone, so I played on Charles Bridge for half a year and got quite a lot more money than I got from actually being a teacher. So, yeah.
Was that allowed in those days? You weren't hassled by the police or anything?
I was hassled. I've been hassled all the time, you know. I mean, you know, the police have stolen money off me and confiscated my sax. They don't... I mean, I do find Prague quite a xenophobic area, a xenophobic place, really. And it's difficult. If you're not very good at the language, it's difficult to actually have... Czech people open up to you, you know. So I got a Czech girlfriend that didn't speak English. That was quite a good way of doing it, you know.
Do Czechs understand the concept of busking? You don't see many buskers there.
It's not allowed. I met some of my best Czech friends, my best friends, playing on the street, you know, and had some of my best experiences just hanging out with the sort of that sort of elements of society, you know.
Yeah. What year are we talking about? What time? When, rather?
1997. So lots of Americans over there at the time. I hung out with them for half a year, then I got sick of them. And I got to speak Czech.
And now in Glasgow, are there many young Czechs here, or many Czechs? Do you know many?
I know a lot. We are employing a Czech guy from Ostrava. In fact, there's a lot of Ostravan Czech people, Moravian people, whatever you want to call them. There's a very, very large Slovak Romani community here. So I'm learning Romani because it's very useful sometimes. And it's interesting. It's a lot more cosmopolitanization of Glasgow through this. Yeah.
What are the Slovak Romanis doing here?
Working, because they can't get work in Slovakia. So therefore, and there's no racism as is known in the Czech Republic. Really, there's no organised racism and there's no institutionalised racism, so therefore they find it a lot better here, and they look like Pakistani people, so therefore they integrate very well into society. Yeah.
We're sitting here in your Čajovna, it's a Czech word meaning tea room. You're the co-owner. Where did you get the idea to open a Czech style, even though it's not very Czech style, it's more oriental or whatever?
Czech style place. It's Czech tea house. It's Čajovna, as far as Čajovnas are in Czech. But I'll give. I'm not going to say where I got influence from because it's a bit obvious, right? But just sort of hanging out in tea houses and rolling up joints and getting chucked out in Prague in 1997, yeah.
Well, right now you're smoking a pipe of some kind. What exactly is it? I have no sense of smell, I should say, also.
Yeah. It's a fruit tobacco. We don't do illegal things here, but I think it's an apple tobacco, and it's nice. Yeah.
Has your Čajovna here become a bit of a centre for Czech people in Glasgow?
Yeah, it has actually. Yeah, we've even had the Czech consulate down. We've also had Arnošt Lustig, who came and visited very briefly, which is very. I read all his books, so that was quite amazing. It's become a bit of a cultural centre in that sense because, you know, it's called Čajovna. Sometimes we write things in a menu in Czech, and I speak Czech, and some of the staff are picking up a bit as well because it's quite useful.